Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast straight out of Norwich, UK. We are here to look back on the Brazilian Grand Prix, the penultimate race of the 2016 season. My goodness me, that has gone pretty damn quick. My name is Michael Bailey. I am here with Kyle Cumbers, David Tillier and Perry Hamilton. And as always, we are on Audio Boom. I think we're still on Acast. I'm not entirely sure. I need to have a word with Acast. It's a good reminder. Acast, iTunes, and on Future Radio, of course, in Norwich too. We hope, as always, this finds you very well. Let's have a quick look at who we've got here. Kyle, in your Braun GP top as well. Try and take a picture of it this week. Good. Did you enjoy the action in Brazil? How did you find it?
Yes, it was a good example of Formula One. A lot was wrong, but a lot was very good. So a lot of rules and red flags, which was wrong, but it was brilliant racing at the same time.
It was like the bit when they actually got to race was great, and then all the other shenanigans we could have completely done without. Ped, I'll come to you next. Looking very dapper in your suit, my man.
It's a jacket and chinos, but you know, we'll take what we can get.
I would call that a suit if I was wearing it.
Well, thank you. Kyle's point is an excellent one. They say that, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and F1 had a lot of good intentions with that race, and we got a hell of a race, so it kind of works out.
just about. We don't know how we got there, but we got there in the end. DT, great to have you on the pod. It's been a little while. I mean, what did you make of Brazil? What have you made of the last few weeks?
Brazil was fantastic. The last few weeks, I've not been enjoying it quite so much. I mean, I think one of the pods I kind of said I wasn't going to come because I didn't really have anything.
You binned us off.
Well, I didn't have anything to say. I thought, you know, I was always brought up to say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Which actually, I don't think I've lived by that mantra at all.
Terrible mantra.
No, that saying was invented by people who didn't record podcasts.
It's very true.
It's very true. But I thoroughly enjoyed Brazil. It was carnage. It had sort of slight sort of Spa 98 undertones, and there was, you know, there was some good. I like a good crash.
Well, this is
the when everyone walks away safely, you know. But I love a good crash.
It was the right kind of carnage because no one got injured and no one died, which is the kind of things we don't want yet. You know, you want to see people being tested in such atrocious conditions. I think we'll get onto the conditions in a bit, but let's, as always, touch on the championship situation as we head into the final race in Abu Dhabi, which is in a fortnight's time. So they're not back-to-back or anything. We've got a little bit of time to digest this. Of course, Lewis Hamilton won the race. He was untroubled. He's probably the only guy who didn't have any spray in his visor for most of the race with all that.
Well, he did have rain.
He did have rain leaking in,
but
he did have the spray from the safety car quite a lot, to be honest.
Well, that is also true. That is true, but it's a safety car. He won the race. Nico Rosberg took second. At times he was fourth, he was third. We had to sort of dig a little bit for it earlier on. In the end, it was probably safe passage in the end. 12 points then, the difference between Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton going into the final weekend. Well, what do we say about this? What did we learn from all this? Because it was a great drive from Lewis, and Nico probably had to be defensive, didn't he?
They'd both done what they needed to do. It's probably the race Hamilton was praying for all the conditions, but Rosberg pretty drove defensively and had to do what he had to do. It'll be the race. We'll obviously mention Verstappen in a while, but it was a fantastic race from Hamilton. I mean, if you had all the gaps he pulled out on Rosberg, I think it adds up to about 40 seconds, which is crazy in the same car. And he's just got to keep doing what he's doing, win races and see what happens.
I mean, the gap, as I said, 12 points, I think Nico can afford. Well, if Nico's on the podium, he wins the title. That's basically the deal when it comes to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, and I think therein may lie the problem, because, well, I as you know, in my predictions in the last podcast we had, I said that Nico was going to win it all. I accounted for some rain. I didn't account for the whole thing. You know, like literally all of the rain. I didn't account for that. But now I think we may have touched on potentially part of the nerve of the problem with that. And what we're doing going into Abu Dhabi now is all Nico has to do is not finish lower than third. So Nico's mindset, as someone that we have said throughout the course of this season, and by we, I mean Michael, doesn't have the teeth to win a championship. Instead of thinking, I need to go out on, we know Lewis, even if he only needed to finish third, would be going out to win this race. We know that. He's a racer. I don't know that Rosberg is. I don't know that Rosberg's going to go out there and go, I've got to win this race. Is he going to make, is he going to break that late? Is he going to, you know, turn in on that apex? Is he going to be on the ragged edge? No, he's not. And I think he's probably more prone to make a mistake because of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis was able to come in and absolutely, you know, stonking, have a great race in Abu Dhabi, and that Nico might have a mistake here and there.
And it's not even the mistake for me. It's the reliability. I think when the title was decided in 2014, Nico Rosberg had mechanical issues that ultimately decided it, although I think in that case he was rank outsider anyway going into that final race.
Hamilton was leading the race quite comfortably at the time, which was enough for him to win it. So,
and then Nico said, I want to finish. So I guess we can already see all the redemption lines 2 years on. This time he'll finish it. But, you know, there's a great graphic here on I think it's Andrew Benson's column in on the BBC Sport website, looking at how basically poor starts have completely f***ed Lewis over for most of the season. He's obviously had a bit of, what is it, two engine failures for Lewis? Oh, three engine failures. I mean, that one in Malaysia just stands out completely. And Nico's had quite good plain sailing of it. And ultimately, that's going to be the thing that defines it, isn't it? A real technical issue that either slows Nico down or effectively ends his race.
Yeah, I think that's the only, as we were just saying, that's the only way that Lewis is going to get what he needs out of it, is for Nico to have a really bad day for some reason. And as we've seen throughout the season, Nico doesn't have bad days this year. You know, he has done consistently, I don't want to use the words bare minimum, but he has done enough. He's been very Prost-like in his approach to things. He's kind of, you know, he's raced hard sometimes, but also just done what he needs to do. I think this race just gone, he was very lucky to get second. I don't think he deserved second at all. I think he was definitely nowhere near fast enough to deserve second. He was just fortunate enough that people were doing other things behind him, and he managed to lose that place, then just get it back because someone, you know, strategy calls were made. You know, so I honestly can't see any situation where he doesn't win the World Championship come Abu Dhabi.
I mean, there was one bit, and we'll reflect on that, DT, more, don't worry. But there's one bit in Andrew Benson's piece where he effectively says that the race in Interlagos emphasised the gulf between Nico and Lewis. It emphasised the fact that one is a great driver and one's a pretty good, well, very good one. I won't do him a disservice, a very good driver. And I feel like that's a bit harsh, actually, on Nico, because in a situation where he's going around that track, yeah, he wasn't quick enough, but he knows he needs to get the car home. And, you know, even if he's third, that's okay. Second is great. It doesn't matter if he's behind Lewis. Why is he going to bust a gut? He doesn't need to bust a gut. Lewis does, and then Lewis could only go as hard as he was going in the end.
It doesn't, and it doesn't, what I said just now, doesn't stop him from deserving this championship. You know, I'm not going to be one of those people that says he doesn't deserve to win this championship, because Lewis has lost it himself, you know. So Nico still has to bring the car across the line, even if he doesn't do it quite the same, you know, flourish that Lewis does when he's really on his game. So yeah, he does. He's still going to deserve it.
Well, that was amazingly the next question written here, because, and I know that the obvious answer, and I know DT's answered it, but the obvious answer is, well, whoever comes out at top at the end of it, he deserves to win the World Championship. Yes, thank you. But at this point, going into the last race, who does deserve to win the title this season?
In terms of sheer entertainment, Max Verstappen. In terms of sheer entertainment and reminding us that there is a race out there every week, apart from the ones where he's in the wall very early, but every time those cars are on track, if Max is driving, he deserves it. Surely he does.
Well, I'm going to stop you there because we'll get on to Max in a bit as well. But all right, between the two Mercedes.
Yeah, it's very easy to go, oh, Nico only got it because of mechanical failures, and Nico, and I've even seen conspiracy theorists and
Steve.
I've no idea if he even listens, but we're gonna mention him on Facebook. But a friend of mine from university, Nicky Talentire, Nicky T. He's even said, you know, that they've finally got, Mercedes have finally got the champion they've wanted all along.
Oh, who's this Nicky T? Have I met Nicky T?
You haven't met Nicky T. Nicky T's a wonderful Scottish lad that I played American football with at university. And he put a Facebook status up that said, you know, this is what Mercedes and Stuttgart have wanted all along. You know, they're almost implying that it was a deliberate sabotage of Lewis's engine when he was in the lead.
But if that's the case, why pay all that money to get Lewis in your car? You pay Lewis to win world championships.
Well, and he has done twice.
Yeah.
but you've got a German driver in a German outfit, and you haven't had really, you've had Sebastian Vettel, which I think even German people got bored of Sebastian Vettel a little bit. So Lewis is the guy that you bring in, because even if you put out a competitive car, he'll win a championship, and he's done that. Now you put out a dominant car, which it's become, well, why not have your German driver and your German team win it? I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying it's a conversation piece.
I'm saying we need Nicky T on the podcast. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, we'll get Nicky T on the phone. He might be living abroad now, which if he is, I'm not wasting my phone call money on him. But
don't forget, nrf1.uk. You can go on there, red button, audio boom, record your audio, Nicky.
That's it.
Tell us.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll tag him on Facebook and we'll get him listening to the pod, and then we'll get him to give us a bit of a theory.
Did you give us an answer?
I mean Rosberg deserves it. He came out hard, he came out fast, and he was if this was a fight, he was punching Lewis in the mouth very early on and often. Lewis just had that real fighter spirit, refused to give up, and he's got in a couple of lucky ones, but really, I mean, Rosberg's been dominant this season, so yeah, he deserves it.
And yeah, the fact is, you look at this, there has been one terminal race for one Mercedes driver. That was Lewis Hamilton from the lead in Malaysia, where those 25 points, he'd be leading by 13 points, wouldn't he? Or something, I don't know. He'd be leading by some points.
Yeah, it'd be a comfortable lead, I think.
So Nico came third, so he picks up 15 points for third?
Yes, so he was on 12 points. Obviously, he was fourth before Hamilton.
So he picked up three more points. Lewis lost 25, so that's a difference of 22 points. And Lewis is 12 points behind. So Lewis would have had a 10-point lead if that engine hadn't blown and it just carried on as every other race.
They both deserve it, but Hamilton deserves it more. Can I say that?
You can say that, Carl. I'll let you say that. And I think that's a fitting way to end it.
But I think also if you take that out of the equation, Lewis hasn't done himself any favours either. He's made mistakes that are not his normal. You know, so I agree with you in the sense that I think he does deserve it more, because I still think he's the better driver, but he hasn't done himself any favours. He could have had a serious commanding lead over this championship and still had that engine failure if he'd have made the most of every opportunity he had.
Well, the case in point in this graph on the BBC Sport website, we've got the issues: engine failure, yeah, can't do much about that. In race penalty, you done something wrong, yeah. Collision.
Whoa. He was judged to have done something wrong. Doesn't mean he did something wrong. It means the stewards judged that he'd done something wrong.
We know how pernickety and weird they can be. Yeah. Collision, obviously, you know, racing incidents, what have you, blah, blah, blah. And then poor start, which is not what you'd normally term as a major factor. And there are a lot of them. Not all on Lewis, it has to be said. 4-2. So Lewis is comfortably winning that one. Well, there we go. Thank you, Andrew Benson, for giving us some discussion time on that. I think that ties up nicely. The key thing I was thinking, Lewis had to get to lap 53, didn't he, to get full points? Because up until that point, he was only going to catch up half as much as he would have done on Lewis. So did anyone here think it was going to get to lap 53, never mind lap 71?
No.
And we'll come on to more in that in a moment. Just a couple of plugs. Don't forget, join our Patreons. Help us make this podcast great. No, that sounded a lot like Donald Trump, didn't it?
Donald says great again. We just need to be great the first time.
No, f*** off. We've always been great. I'm not having that at all. Help us continue to make great podcasts, because we've done it off the
start. Help us be greaterer.
More great.
And have English lessons.
Bestest.
And remember, we have all the words. We have the best words.
Thanks, DT. Was that a quote from someone?
That's Donald Trump.
Oh, is it?
He said, I have all the words. I have the best words. But apparently the longest word in his whole thing was words.
Oh, okay. No, I only got it when you did the impression of it. Yeah. That was better.
Okay, well, let's not mock Donald Trump too much, because we have a lot of American listeners. And, you know, as we know, half of them who voted wanted Donald Trump president. Fine. We will all deal with the consequences, that's much like we're dealing with them here for our own votes. Like
half of the country, though, isn't it?
It was barely more than didn't vote who actually voted, yeah, if that makes sense. Anyway, let's not get into American politics, shall we? So, yeah, make our podcast great, etc., and continue to be great, and all those things. Become a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/NRF1. That is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. We've got big plans for 2017. It's going to be our biggest year yet, and that off the back of 2016, which has been our biggest year so far. So we're getting there, definitely. And given all the, you know, kerfuffles and things in Formula 1, they need a working group to help figure out the issues and come up with suggestions for Kyle to tweet them and then them to take them on, claiming them as their own.
And we do it freelance. So, you know, we're not governed by the FIA. We don't have those big brothers looking over us and saying, you got to do it our way. We're freelance, man. We're like guerrilla F1 warfare.
We always have the interest of the sport at heart as well. None of your we need to stop racing because I'm going to lose my championship lead. You know, none of that.
I want to just ask the rest of the guys here, is there something in the water? Because Michael has been dropping the F-bombs throughout this podcast quite freely, which is very unusual for Mike, actually. Mike, anything you want to share with us?
I just like the beep button. I constantly am worried I'm going to miss one. So I apologise over the last few podcasts if one's crept through, but I did try really hard not to. And don't forget, you can review us and rate us on iTunes. Please do, because the people at iTunes want to know that we're really good. You know, and if you think we're really good, then tell them. You can do that with nrf1.uk/isonitunes, because that's where we are. You are listening to the NRF1 podcast on Audio Boom on Future Radio. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. DT, your pit stop impression still going strong, although I have a feeling they may have missed a wheel nut. Red Bull then, we have the issue that a Red Bull should have at least finished second in this race, to be honest, given how quick they were on both tyres. But shall we really start with Max Verstappen? Defining race, defining drive, better than his win in Spain, some would argue. I would probably argue that as well. Just a wonderful example of how to drive in the wet. A skill that not everyone has, not many have. You know, Lewis Hamilton won finally at Sao Paulo to emulate Ayrton Senna. Yeah, it was Max Verstappen, wasn't it, who really emulated Senna?
I think it's quite impressive for Lewis to have a drive like he did, not put a foot wrong, and actually be very quick, as you know, and do really well, and still be outclassed by someone else. So that I think shows how good of a drive Max had, is that even though Lewis had an amazing drive, I don't think there's anyone who would say that Lewis deserved driver of the day compared to Max, because Max was just, it was scintillating. He's why we watch Formula One.
Alternative viewpoints, or are we raving about him too much? Because there'll be some people there going, ah, it's all right.
We'll look back and it'll be the Verstappen race. It's like Hamilton's race in 08, Silverstone, the Senna race in 84, Schumacher's in 96. And we'll sort of look back saying, who won that race? And it'll be a shame because, like DT said, Hamilton drove brilliantly, but it'll be forgotten in a weird way. And it'll be, yeah, this will be the race that we go, yeah, I can remember Max in 2016, that race when he wins his 6th, 7th championship. We'll look back on
We're
this
all
race.
Sick of him by then.
Yes. The good old days when Max was fun.
Max Verstappen reached the podium from P17, having been on Inters, and then it got wet, so it didn't work out, although it did look like the Inters might work out for a spell, and Daniel Ricciardo was doing well on them too. But he got on the podium from P17 in wets, full wets, or extremes, as apparently they're called. And he did that on new tyres, but these are wets, so it doesn't matter. You can have a set of wets for the whole race if you want. It's not really going to presumably make that much of a performance difference.
Also, so I saw a graphic. They were the wets he had on before he put the intermediates on.
Is that right? So they were the same tyres?
So they were probably about 10, 12 laps.
Right. So yeah. Effectively, absolutely irrelevant. Just masterclass of driving.
Yeah. Outstanding. I mean, I didn't get to watch the whole race, but even I got to see some fantastic, you know, moves around the outside, things that you just think, he shouldn't be able to do that. That shouldn't be happening, good Lord. And then the only downside I can think of, and as you've said, Michael, there will be people going, oh, it's, you know, Max, you're going on about him too much. There is one overarching downside to the whole Max Verstappen coming out party that has been 2016. And you could say that you could say this... for pretty much Formula One for ages. But how much better would this have been if Murray Walker was commentating on Max?
Wow.
I mean, you imagine how exciting. And I mean, it's the what got me thinking about that is DT's word that you used, scintillating. And that is such a great word. And that's almost a Murrayism, you know, superlative. These are words that have fallen out of the vernacular of Formula One commentary because of Murray not being there. We bring those words back because we have to, because they're the only words that can describe what this kid, no offense, Max, but you are a kid, and what you can do behind the wheel of a Formula One car is unbelievable.
He does listen. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm pretty sure he does listen. So, how much did Red Bull help Mercedes out? Could they have beaten Lewis? Would they have won the race? Where would you have put them?
I think they could have troubled him. I don't know whether they could have beaten him.
Because Hamilton was pulling away from him slightly before he changed to intermediates. So that's probably part of the reason. And also Ricciardo was pretty quick on them. So you can understand why they did it. It's just a bit unlucky, really. On another day, it could have worked out.
On another day, it could have worked out. Ferrari, are we sick of Sebastian Vettel complaining?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Go on, Ped. I mean, the fact that he went... I mean, what was it he said? He basically said, Max ran me off the road. Whereas, like, 2 seconds later, he'd literally done exactly the same to Max and Max pulled out of the overtake. So it's like even Seb didn't kind of seem convinced by his own complaining.
Well, so the thing that annoyed me most with Seb is I think Seb was the only driver saying, this needs to be red flagged. All the radios you heard, Seb was the only one saying this should be red flagged, and yet you had people like Verstappen and Hamilton going, come on guys, this is just a wet race. I mean, let's go. I think maybe was it Hülkenberg or Bottas said the same thing, you know, this is just a wet race, let's get the safety car off and let's drive. Next thing you know, out comes the red flag. Now my friend Adam, who Michael knows, Mr. Adam Noon, we'll give him a quick shout out on the pod, he made a very good observation just before the commentators did, which was, and probably a lot of people out there made the same observation, so it's not just him, I'm sure, but he sort of said, well, you think about it, this is Jules Bianchi fallout right here. That's what this is. This is fallout from Jules. And the argument is a very simple one. If you red flag it, no one gets hurt. But if you don't red flag it and someone does get hurt, there's a level of responsibility that's going to have to be taken from someone. The extreme response to that is, yeah, well, if you don't want anyone to get hurt, don't race. And that's not what we want. We want, and that's why I say, you know, good intentions at the beginning of the podcast. You know, Formula One, the bosses, everyone in charge, they wanted it to be a safe race, but they wanted it to be a good race. And you really can tell the split of the field when you've got, you know, Vettel going, this needs to be stopped. And then you've got racers like Max and Lewis saying, come on, let's just get the safety car out there and let's just go at it because we're capable of doing this. We are capable drivers.
I'd say the conditions felt very similar to the race in Japan a couple of years ago, just from how gloomy and dark and wet it was, clearly. And when they restarted from the second red flag, because I think that this is really where I think the crux of it comes down to, probably, is the second red flag. Some feel it didn't really need to stop. Did they restart in worse conditions? Was it unnecessary? Did they get it right in the end?
I think I haven't got a problem with the red flags anyway. It's just the amount of time behind a safety car, just wasting laps. I mean, was it probably about 8-9 laps behind? Surely they can decide within a few laps if the conditions are bad enough, and then red flag again, stop until they're good enough. And if it's just, I mean, we had, like you said, we had Lewis and Max saying it's fine to race, and then a lap later there's a red flag. So surely there's probably Maylander? So it's probably his decision. So surely he can just drive around and make that decision by himself, not drag everybody out.
Well, they used to do that, didn't they? When they red flagged for weather, they used to send the safety car out, do a few laps, and then they'd come back and go whether or not they think it's capable or not. And why? Yeah.
I have a feeling the safety car does still do a recce lap every time. They do like a safety check of the lap, even when it's wet. So I think that still happens. One thing we retweeted during the race was from Mark Webber, who could well be inducted into our first Norfolk Hall of Fame when we get that going, just to say, maybe, if you're lucky, Mark. I'm sure he listens as well. He says, next attempt for the safety car, leave pathetically slow safety car in the pit lane, then Lewis Hamilton controls two laps at 60% pace, then go green. Effectively, the cars, you know, get rid of that water and then they can get going. You've got virtual safety car, so you have the powers to control it.
That sounds like Mark Webber almost changing Formula One for the better.
Well, we're backing that because that is bang on.
Get him on the pod to talk about it. I'm sure he listens.
He does. I'm sure he does listen. If he does listen, I'm sure he'll be in touch. Obviously, although he is a busy man as well. And it, you know, but the obviously the audio boom button is on the website, so he could always submit his own audio. I'm sure he would. I'm sure he's perfectly capable, aren't you, Mark?
Why can't we have one of those things like they have in NASCAR, where they've got the truck with the jet engine on the back that goes round?
What is this? What?
So in on the oval tracks in NASCAR, they have a big truck with effectively a jet engine at the back, but it's not designed to push the truck around. It's designed to dry the track, because obviously they don't do wet races in NASCAR or IndyCar or whatever when they're doing oval tracks. So this thing goes round. If it's even slightly damp, they'll just sort of send this round a few times, and it literally is blasting hot air out the back of it.
To stick Bernie on the back.
But what I was thinking is if you change the safety car to that, that could be entertaining.
Well, that'd be a hell of a sight.
I think the problem, potentially the problem that you have with that, with having a drying mechanism or anything like that, is on an oval track it works fantastically because they're all banked in the same direction. So you automatically have a level of drainage. So your water's automatically going to be running off. The problem you have with a lot of these tracks here is that you have varying degrees of elevation. You have varying cambers. You have some, there were some lovely shots of the pools that were collecting in the curbs. I almost saw some kids go pond dipping. If you remember pond dipping, heck yeah. Then, you know, that's probably where we have those issues. I mean, for oval track, it works absolutely great, but physics DT just is against you.
What's a sensible suggestion for actually drying the track? I just want to see a truck with a jet engine.
I think we need to Google that now. I mean, there are bigger issues here for Sao Paulo and Interlagos because there is an asterisk next to the Brazilian Grand Prix for next year's calendar, I believe, at the moment. And clearly drainage is an issue. So I've imagined that they've probably been having a few conversations since the weekend's action. Let's rattle through a couple of other bits. I mean, they are changing the rules from 2017 as well regarding standing starts in the wet. So they're going to go behind the safety car for a few laps. Then when it's dry enough, back on the grid, in your grid box, and do a standing start, but in the wet.
With now freezing cold tyres because you've... Yeah.
You're too slow, but presumably you would have cleared some of the water off the track, possibly. Whether these things will get discussed again off the back of this weekend, you'd imagine so. There is a working group this weekend, I think. Yeah. Oh, no, Wednesday there's a working group meeting.
Potentially the problem you'd have, I feel like such a moaner. So I've gone after DT's not so serious suggestion, and now I'm going after this as well. The problem that you have there is there is such a thing as a racing line. So you want to do four tracks on the racing line. All your cars are going to be on one side coming down the start straight.
Apart from Max.
Well, yes, he does.
He'll be going 4 seconds quicker than everyone else. Yeah.
But this is my point. You're going to have a racing line that is dry, and then every other that starts from the other side of the grid, they're going to get wheel spin, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. You're asking for more trouble than it's worth there.
I just want to get a noise reaction to Kimi's crash, because that was... I mean, what did you think? Because there were two cars there that came very close to hitting him.
It was scary. It was close your eyes, especially Ocon when he came up.
Yeah, sorry, three cars, yeah.
Yeah, just about. And also when Vettel spun around and was sitting at the top of the hill, and you, from the camera angle, you couldn't see what was coming up, and obviously he's even lower. That was just scary, and I don't know how he didn't crash.
Well, that terrified me, that shot, because they cut away from his driver's eye view just as you could see him start to kick the back end out to turn around, and as that happened, you saw the car crest the hill, and they cut away, and you were just going, ah! Yeah. As if to be like, what the hell is happening? I mean...
Which, of course, was the same with Max, I think it was, going into the pit lane when Marcus Ericsson was just sat in the pit lane, and, of course, Daniel Ricciardo got penalised for that as well.
Yeah, that was the bit that sort of made me feel like it's a bit sort of Spa... As soon as that happened, I thought, well, that's a bit Spa 98. Is there going to be, like, about 10 cars going to...
Oh, that, yeah, it would have been hideous.
No one could see... You know, how nobody hit my God, you know.
But then they couldn't see when they were still racing. That's the weird thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah, and of course they called it quits straight immediately.
Jolyon Palmer can probably confirm.
Yes, yeah, poor old Jolyon, he got caught up on an overtake. He tried to do a Max and just couldn't quite pull it off.
I'm surprised they haven't put a camera inside someone's helmet now, because you can get HD quality glasses that you can put on, you know, that are good quality that people can wear. So why they can't fit a camera inside to, you know, for these wet races so that we can see exactly what the driver's seeing, because the camera that's slightly raised, it doesn't give you what the driver's seeing.
Sounds like something that needs to be put forward to the working group. Are you all listening, aren't you? You Formula One bods, all listening. Right, we're going to rattle these very quickly because time is chasing away. Sauber, Felipe Nasr, Fred, first Sauber points of the season. Manor trying so desperately hard to cling on to their 10th place. Lost out, Esteban Ocon lost... It seemed to lose out on like the last lap or two, basically, about three or four places, but maybe I just wasn't following it closely enough, but that's what it seemed like.
You only lost two places on the last lap.
Oh, and I think there was a Manor tweet that they posted. I can't find the Manor tweet just now, but it said something like, we haven't got any words for what just happened, although obviously they tweeted that, but they were clearly gutted. And we're talking, what, 40 million quid that they're going to probably lose out on? Because how do the constructor standings look now, Kyle?
Yeah, so Manor are now 1 point behind Sauber in 10th place. So we don't know how... It was a very depressed tweet from the sound of it. So we don't know how serious that could be for them. Maybe they were banking on that extra 40 million.
Well, that was a majorly unpredictable race. So we have to assume that Abu Dhabi is not going to be a majorly unpredictable race, although it rained last year, apparently, didn't it? So someone recalled?
Just random observation about the points total. Mercedes are at 722 points, which was the famous number on Stirling Moss's Mille Miglia Mercedes.
Wow. How about that, DT? Yeah. Oh, we missed you. What else do we need to... Felipe Massa... And as good as it was for Nasser, not quite so good for Massa, who crashed out and then got to do his emotional goodbye. I mean, I was like, well done, Felipe, but this really sucks that it's ended like this.
I thought that was wonderful. It was a shame.
But he crashed into a wall.
It's a shame that's crashed, no, but the bit, I can't remember the last time I saw anything like it in Formula One. You know, when we've had quite a few big name drivers retire over the last few years. But I've never seen anything quite like it. It was a lovely, lovely touch, and it was nice that it wasn't just Williams coming out. All the Ferrari came out, all of Mercedes came out. You know,
his wife was there, family were there.
It was very nice, but he's still got another race to go.
Yeah, but this was Brazil, Kyle. It was his home race.
I know that, but
the season should end at Brazil anyway.
It should do, but he might as well not turn up. He's already done his goodbye.
That's the spirit. Well, he's put it in the wall now. It saved them a repair bill.
They're all clapping him in, and they're like, oh, actually. I'll see you in a couple of weeks as well. So
get old Lance Stroll in. Yeah. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Lance Stroll. Get Lance straight in.
You might find that Felipe just goes, do you know what? I'm going to stay in here. I'm staying home. I'm not going. And just hanging out with his family. He goes, get someone else to race for me.
I'm just going to make a point about Lance Stroll. You know, obviously we've talked about was it Scott Speed had one of the best names in Formula 1. Don't you think Lance Stroll's probably got one of the worst names in Formula 1? It doesn't sound fast, does it? You know, just Stroll.
Depends if he strolls quickly. That's the thing.
On it now, if he wins a race and it was easy, the paper headline is going to be a stroll in the park or something like that. It's going to be, especially if he actually wins Australia, which is in a park.
Yes.
So,
well done.
You know, I'm claiming it. If it happens, Michael, you can use it as a... As Norfolk's premier Formula One writer, you can use it.
Wow. Is that true?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'll take that.
How many other Norfolk Formula One writers are there?
Well,
I'm not saying
Jack Nicholls is a commentator.
I'm not saying you get it by default, Michael. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm claiming it. I'm taking it. Screw you all. Damn it. It's damn well right. That and football. no, don't know about football. No. Kyle, I've got to touch about Haas because Esteban Gutierrez was really annoyed and he was like having a fight in the garage with his boss. Kevin Magnussen is going to be driving for Haas next year, which is good. I mean, if only you'd have known last week, you could have told us on the podcast. And then Romain Grosjean ends up in a wall before the race starts.
Poor old Romain, because he qualified 7th. A brilliant lap. And then he threw it all away before he even started. And Gutierrez obviously was a little bit upset that he's kind of got the boot at the end of last week.
I wonder where he'll go now.
I mean, obviously, Sauber or Manor, but...
He's still attached to Ferrari as well, isn't he?
Yeah. So
probably just wear some Ferrari uniform in the pit lane and not appear to do anything for the rest of his career. A bit like Fizzy.
That's they worked for Esteban last...
How long has Mike Janabin in that garage? What's he even do?
Well, worked for Esteban last year. Fair enough. And Kevin?
I think it's good. Yeah, as I said last week. Good
you
move.
Did say that last week. Good job you didn't know, though, obviously.
So as Roman's back foot with Haas next year, isn't it?
Yes.
So we've got Rogro and Cade Mag.
Yes.
But I said they sound like 80s hip-hop band.
Yeah. Well, they could make that happen. Right. There's all the production software is out there now.
Rogro sounds like a sort of like an 80s hair replacement product. You know, get your hair back with Rogro.
Regrow with Rogro, yes. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, let's move it on, shall we? You are listening to the NRF1 podcast, unmistakably. No one else would have recorded this stuff. With Audio Boom, Acast and Future Radio. It's, of course, time for our Of the Weekends. Starts with the Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend. We're going to rattle through these nice and quickly. Driver of the Weekend.
Bert Mylander.
Fair enough.
Oh, it's Max. We know. We've talked about it. It's Max.
Max. Hamilton.
Max, with an honorary mention to Felipe Massa. He did go in the wall, though. Team. By the way, Max's save. Good save, wasn't it? Good save, not going in the wall. I don't know how he didn't go.
In that case, can we also just give a little rare shout out to Daniel Kvyat, who got thumped in the side pod going down the straight at full speed in the wet and managed to hold it.
Yes, did it.
And you'd expect from, I'd expect that from a more seasoned driver. But from Kvyat, I thought, fair play, mate. Well done.
That was Jolyon. And Nico Hülkenberg had a great start to the race as well. And Fred Nasr, we should also get a mention.
On the radio after he tipped, didn't Jolyon say, oh, I can still drive it, I think it's okay?
Yeah, he didn't have a clue. I think Marcus was probably saying that as well, was he facing the wrong way in the pit lane. Team?
Just Sauber, just because, you know, they've managed to take the next step that they needed to. They waited long enough for it, and they're not safe, but they've done a good job there, and finally.
They've done a good job in recent weeks, actually. It's been coming, hasn't it? It has been coming. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Yeah, I was going to say Mercedes, because they're the only ones that seem to have not done anything wrong. They didn't have a particularly exciting race, but everyone else seemed to be tripping them over themselves and doing some weird, wonderful stuff. But Mercedes, typical, almost boring.
Domination. Maybe apart from Toto Wolff ringing up Max Verstappen saying, oh, don't get in the way. Mind you, if they hadn't put Inters on him, maybe he would have. Anyway, Pastor or Goat of the weekend?
I'm going to give it to... You have to remind me here. I always confuse the Scandinavians. Which one's in the Sauber?
Marcus Ericsson.
Him. For trying to drive to the pit lane with only one wheel. Obviously, his wheel's hanging off like a loose tooth on a three-year-old child. Three-year-olds have teeth, right?
Yeah.
Yep, cool. Like a loose tooth on a three-year-old child.
I don't know
child.
If they'd be loose, though.
Well, I'm sure they would be. They'd have fallen out or whatever. But anyway, and he just thinks, do you know what? I can cut across the track and I can make it to the pit lane. He's barely in the pit lane. And then he goes, no, I can't. Sod it. And he blocks the pit lane for every other driver. And it's a blind entry and it's pissing with rain. And we saw Max nearly crash it. I just thought that was the dumbest freaking move that he could have made. And I just thought that is so idiotic. So he gets it for me. Because that's the kind of thing Pasta would have actually done.
That is
such a Pasta move.
That is a very good chat. We know how much you don't like Pasta. It might have been Gutierrez, actually, who almost hit Marcus Ericsson when he was in the pit lane, thinking about it, rather than... No, it wasn't Max.
Max came around the corner at a lick and just only managed had to go outside. Max had to go fully on the green paint, which in itself was terrifying because we'd been seeing people dipping wheels on and off the paint and losing it all race.
But we know Max can hold a drift, so...
Oh, yeah. We do.
I would say Goat probably is Red Bull, and they're just
I was unlucky though as well, wasn't it? I suppose. I mean, the weather forecast did say 50 minutes of harder rain, so maybe they shouldn't know.
Jenson Button.
Oh yeah, we didn't even touch on the Mercedes McLarens.
Yeah, I mean the whole McLaren, even Alonso had a poor race.
Yeah,
but Jenson Button's been a bit whingy, and
I think he's a bit fed up this weekend for whatever reason. He's just his heart wasn't in it at all. Even pre-race when they interviewed him, he wasn't his normal chirpy kind of slightly sarcastic self. He was just a bit
I think it must be tough for him though, because he's their team and him, they've both fallen so far and Brazil was where he won his championship, so it must be hard for him to come back and kind of go, I was great here once, like I was at this was a place of real good stuff for me, and now I come here and I'm at the end of a pit and hell. I mean,
it's throwing them all in at the end, aren't you, Ben?
It is the way that you don't want your career to end, because he's just going to fizzle away. And probably this is, you know, they say that he could come back, but he's unlikely, isn't it? Let's be honest. And he has, not only did he win a great world championship, but he continued to be great for several years after that. You know, he's still clearly got the capability.
That's the bit for me. I think now that we're getting to the end, he's realising, oh, God, I didn't want it to end like this. And it's almost that... That has sapped his enthusiasm for finishing in style.
Obviously, interesting the send-off he gets, because he's not technically retiring.
Yeah, he might never get to say goodbye properly.
Like, I've considered exactly the same thing. Like, what are they going to do for him?
If he smashes into the wall in Abu Dhabi and walks through the pit lane, people will be like, well, actually, you might be back. You might not. Mm. You know, goodbye.
It's all Ron Dennis's fault, and we won't see him anymore either. So there we go.
Can I also give just a very quick special mention?
Of course.
To,
you are on a roll, you're getting paid for these.
No. To the Haas pit technician who got caught out eating a flapjack. Because that was amazing. That was the absolute moment of looking in the camera, the eyes of terror of I've been caught, the sheepish smile, and then the I'm doing it anyway, and the mouthful.
Whatever
that flapjack was, I hope you enjoyed it, my friend.
I think there was a tweet that went out that sort of said, gonna have to finish that cake quite quickly because they're going racing again in a minute.
I know we'll probably get a bit ahead of myself, but my sort of, one of my highlights outside of the actual racing and all the Max Verstappen stuff was just before the race, Lewis Hamilton went over to his pit girl, put the jacket over her because she was clearly wearing nothing and it was freezing cold. So put his jacket, took his jacket off, put it over her. It sort of fell off a little bit. And then as soon as he'd left, one of the other Mercedes skivvies came out, took the jacket off and then disappeared.
No way! That's obscene.
Yeah, so they were, and it all went on in the background of DC talking about something, and you could see it. They didn't really focus on it; it all just sort of happened in the background. And yeah, Lewis Hamilton went over, put his jacket over.
Yeah, that picture got quite roundly used on Twitter.
And then it sort of slipped off one shoulder, and then one of the Mercedes other people after Lewis Hamilton sort of trotted off came over and took the jacket off her.
Are you putting that as your highlight of the weekend? Because I put that as my. Whoever did that, bastards.
Well, it was my highlight was seeing Lewis do it, but also it was kind of comical seeing the whole thing. And then someone from the race organisers or whatever came and took her bloody brolly away.
Really? Who are these people?
Did they leave every other pit lane girl with a brolly and they just took hers as punishment? Punishment for like, no, you shouldn't interact with the stars.
See, they were all trotting off. Off the track at this point, but she was nowhere near like ready to sort of like join the queue, and they'd just taken the brolly off, and she was like standing there. Going, you could see she was wearing this skimpy little green dress, which I also appreciated.
And obviously, she was number one because she was with Lewis Hamilton, so obviously she was the number one brolly girl. Yeah. Should we treat a bit more respect?
I don't know if they get ranked in order. I don't know if it's like they have a qualifying session, but I really don't think we should go down this road. I just wanted to mention the FIA because you have all the cars come in under a red flag and they're only allowed to make certain changes. Joe Bauer is the only person who can go around and check them all 22 cars in what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes? He has to check everything they do, otherwise they can't do it. What kind of a stupid rule is that? Surely you've got at least 4 or 5 so you can get it all done. Surely, tweak that bit of the car. No one will care.
Charlie, all the racing stewards who are officiating that day, that's at least 4 or 5 people, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. A picture of the race director's room or whatever. There's millions of them. Get them out instead of watching nothing during a red flag period.
Unless Joe's a bit of a, dictator and he won't let anyone... No, I've got to do that. I'm not saying that's how he talks.
Maybe he's related to Jack Bauer, so therefore he's just... amazing at, he can just fly through every car at an amazing rate and
tell me where the flap is.
Exactly, interrogates each car,
And then 24 joke for you there, Fedge, like that.
Damn it, Chloe.
Right, anyway, highlight, I think you've given yours, DT, we'll claim that.
Just Max Verstappen's last 10 laps.
I've literally got here Max in capital letters.
Max is a highlight.
Ped's wearing a jacket, he's allowed to just go mix. Right, that's it. Wow, epic. But I think it probably deserved it, to be honest. Don't forget all the plugs. NRF1.UK is the website, which will have blogs, tips, and all sorts of stuff continuing through the winter and into next season as well. Twitter and Facebook handles are at the NRF1, so you can find us there. Or email us anything you like. We love hearing from you. nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and we'll include all your tweets, posts, emails and of interesting points and audio. If you record that at nrf1.uk and click on the red button, then we'll include all those in our podcasts. And of course the next one will be next week, looking ahead to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the final race of the 2016 season. It's been emotional. It's been good. Oh, hang on. Whoa. Hang on. Everyone's talking. Yes.
Are you going to include the messages that Rich and Steve have sent through for you to include? Do you do them in post-production or do you do them now?
No, good point. You save me there. Rich said sorry for the late reply. You see, because we're right at the end of the podcast. Also, not that bit. Verstappen must have the biggest balls ever. Unbelievably brave overtakes. I think we'll agree with that. Well said, Rich. And Stevie red Rust. Great balls of...
Red balls of
red
fire.
Red balls of fire.
Yeah.
Just say that again, DT.
Red balls of fire.
I'm going to clip that and use that for something. I don't know what.
Tone, just DT going, red balls of fire.
Are you going to get that?
I
no.
I've got a message again. Definitely not.
You can sell it as a ringtone. You too can have it on your phone. DT going, red balls of fire. And Steve Russ said, to add to the pod, his driver of the day was Verstappen, future champion in the making. Good old Steve. And GOAT will be Red Bull for choosing to go on Inters. It's a fair point. Highlight any of Verstappen's overtakes, but my true highlight was Massa's unexpected pit lane walk send-off.
We are all in like a little message group, so we all see what has been... That's why we're talking about it. It just seemed a bit confusing. But
It's WhatsApp. Everyone knows WhatsApp, right?
I can't advertise my
Oh, no, you can.
Other messaging services are available, but they're just not as good. That's the problem.
They just haven't taken off.
Yeah. And when WhatsApp want to come calling, you know, sponsor our pod, we'd happily, you know, do stuff for you for money.
I haven't contacted Harry's Raises yet, because they seem to sponsor every other podcast I listen to these days.
Cornerstone, Squarespace, they're all the big hitters.
Loot Crate.
What about Ford? Has that deal come off yet, DT?
That's it's a difficult subject with regards to... yes, probably something I should discuss on the podcast. But yeah.
That will learn me from making a joke. I should have just beeped it. Right, Abu Dhabi is in a fortnight. We'll be here to preview it. We'll give you all the latest news that breaks, of course, in the build-up to the deciding Formula One race of the 2016 season. We'll want your tweets and socials. If you've got any questions, anything you want to ask the crew, we'll make it basically going to be the final time you get the chance to do it this year. So forward them, send them, tweet us, Facebook post, whatever. Get us those questions in and we'll discuss them. And we'll send forward, of course, our predictions for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix as well, because everyone is now curious to know how the Prediction League is going to look with just one race to go. And of course, don't forget our pre-season and midway season predictions yet to be added to it all. So it's plenty to play for still. Plenty to play for.
I've forgotten what I predicted back at the beginning. I forgot watching the race on Sunday. I forgot what I predicted when we did the preview.
Isn't it great? So we'll tell you all those, of course, next week as well. But Kyle, DT, Ped, thank you so much for your time. Thanks, as always, for you all out there for listening. I hope we haven't gone on too long. We have. And we'll see you ahead of Abu Dhabi. Until then, enjoy.